past week, we've had a couple, but then with the contact tracing, it really puts us below our numbers and on the defensive line. And so that's something that we set up parameters, you know, before the emotion of it. But then when you really have to go through and cancel a game, it's really hard. And it's not something you want to do. And I know Coach Drinkwitz wanted to play this week, but we just felt for the safety of our players, we couldn't go forward with it. And obviously the SEC made that decision ultimately.
Missouri Athletic Director Jim Sterk on postponing the game between Georgia and Missouri this Saturday, one of becoming more and more games are postponed due to COVID-19. Let's update you on that. SEC games for this weekend have been postponed and maybe eventually canceled. Alabama at LSU, and they have no common date to reschedule. Auburn at Mississippi State. Georgia at Missouri might have to get moved to December 19th, assuming neither one's in the SEC title game. Texas A&M at Tennessee. All four of those SEC games have been postponed, and a few of them might end up being canceled. Ohio State at Maryland is canceled because the Big Ten didn't give themselves any leeway whatsoever, and that's going to continue to be an issue for the Big Ten and the Pac-12. The game scheduled for Saturday between number 3 Ohio State and Maryland in Maryland has been canceled following 8 Maryland players testing positive for COVID-19, and that Big Ten game will not be rescheduled. And in high school football playoffs, Class 1A playoffs, Uniontown has forfeited to Olpe as they have COVID in their situation there at Uniontown. So there is the first game that I'm aware of this week for high school football playoffs have been impacted by COVID, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and say there will be at least one more either today or tomorrow that will be forfeited due to COVID-19. I think most schools are waiting till the very last possible minute. It's not probably the way to play the game, but I think it's happening where schools are waiting for the last possible minute, hoping the other team forfeits before they do, even though both may know that they both have issues.
Yeah, it's it's definitely a way. You're not gonna,
in a way.
These things aren't going to happen on Monday and Tuesday during the week. And, and Wednesday's, I think, going to be rare, even more rare as you get further into the playoffs. So,
I'm not saying I wouldn't do it the same way.
No, yeah, exactly.
In regards to trying to figure out, you know, your situation. Like, if you know it's obviously out of hand, you probably owe it to everybody to just call it off and, you know, in fairness to the other team, knowing you're not going to be able to play on Friday anyway. And Dodge City did that early last week.
Yeah.
But they're the only one. Everybody else waited pretty much till Thursday or even Friday.
So yes.
I think that's going to be the norm, don't you?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't see any other way.
No.
Like I said, as you get deeper and deeper, you want to make sure you give your kids a chance. And if you think you're going to be over it in a week and then somebody else says, oh, we can't play either.
Right.
Let them do it first, and then maybe you'll be back ready to go the next time around.
Chiefs have a bye this week. Nicole Hardman has, he's on the reserve COVID-19 list. So, you know, if there's ever a time to be on that list, now's the time during the bye week for Nicole Hardman and the Chiefs. So there's that update as well. All right, athlete of the week. We have one this week.
Yeah, St. John's Junior Logan Brummer, the NCCSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. Had a great season for the St. John's Tipton Blue Jay football team, kind of in an unconventional way in the eight-man level as a kicker. Most of the eight-man teams use their kickers for kickoffs only, but he actually had a lot of scoring opportunities on PATs this year. In the Blue Jays' loss to Frankfurt last Friday night, he connected on his 25th extra point kick of the season and also had 4 touchbacks in that game kicking off. So did an outstanding job with that. Had his best scoring game the week before with 6 of 6 on PAT kicks in the 50-14 win over Onega. And actually in the 2 wins that St. John's Tipton had over Onega combined this year, he went 10-for-10 on PATs. Connected on 80% of those on the season at 25 out of 32, and also had 1 field goal attempt. It was a 37-yarder that he made in the season opener against Sylvan Lucas in Tipton. So he also finished the season with 26 touchbacks on kickoffs. And then among the teams that actually keep stats on max preps, which is not all of them, Brummer does lead all 8-man kickers for PATs made this season. He's in 2nd place in all of 8-man and 1st in 8-man Division II in touchbacks for 2020. So Brummer had a great year and also contributed on offense and defense. He was the 5th leading tackler for St. John's Tipton with 89 stops, 3 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks. So congratulations to Logan Brummer, our NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. So also one other local note, North Central Kansas All-League volleyball teams are posted at NCKSSports.com. Concordia had a few selections. Chloe Conway, first team. Kendall Reynolds and Zoe Bouchard, honorable mention picks. I can tell you as well that the Mid-Continent League All-League Volleyball team has been voted on. They're waiting to get it all approved, and it'll be released hopefully soon. So we'll find out all the Smith Center players that made it to the All-MCL Volleyball team as well.
There'll be a few.
There will be
should yes. be for a team that got second in state.
TMP, Phillipsburg, and Smith Center will probably dominate the All-MCL volleyball teams.
Right. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. All right. Tonight there's a big football game, Thursday night football. We've got a good one. Colts 5-3 at the Titans 6-2. I think we're due for a 3-interception performance or better from Phillip Rivers. Big AFC South tilt tonight. I like the Titans, and I like them to win quite a bit. Not saying they're going to win by quite a bit. I just like them to win quite a bit. I feel really good that they're going to win this game. Greg Marshall, the latest. I know you talked about this yesterday on the show while I was gone. Greg Marshall, Wichita State are expected to part ways by the end of the week. That's according to two national media reports, but no local reports are coming out saying and confirming this yet.
Yeah.
Marshall was not at the team's practices on Monday or Tuesday. It's not known if Marshall's absence was related to the investigation. If you don't know, he's being investigated for verbal and physical abuse of his players. When asked if Marshall has been suspended, a university spokesman said that Coach Marshall has taken a few days off for personal reasons. Okay. The timing comes just 2 weeks before Wichita State's scheduled to begin its 2020-2021 season, November 25th against Utah State in the opening round of the Crossover Classic in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. If Marshall is not on the sidelines then, it is likely Wichita State would promote from within. Isaac Brown, who has been with Wichita State since 2014, is Marshall's most experienced assistant coach, and many former Shockers are already lobbying for him to get the job if it becomes open. I saw an interesting nugget the other day that Danny Manning has reached out and has interest. I'm not convinced Danny Manning is a very good head coach. I know he was in the ACC Wake Forest. I think he's good with players and getting them to be better individually. But, you know, his only head coaching job, well, I guess he was at Tulsa, wasn't he, for a little while. But he did okay at Tulsa. Wake Forest, you know, he struggled. Tough conference when you got Duke, Carolina, and Virginia and all that. So I don't know. I just don't see Danny Manning being at Wichita State. But anyway, apparently he's reached out, according to reports. I don't think you want to jump into this job right now.
No.
Right, before the season.
It's funny, like, all the people that are lobbying to get the job, and it's not even technically open.
It isn't open yet, yeah, right.
Like, but Adrian Griffin wants the job, and it's
which
like...
I think he'd be a great hire.
Yeah.
Because the NBA guy, he knows, I mean, that would help, I think, a little bit, to tell kids this is what you need to do to get the NBA. You might get a little higher talent at Wichita State. He played at Wichita. I mean, you know, Adrian Griffin, I think, would be... He played at Seton Hall, actually, but Adrian Griffin, I think, would be a good one. You know, but, yeah, the job isn't officially open yet.
Like, we want this job.
Right.
It's
but it's good for Wichita State that people want the job.
It is. It's very good, yes.
Do you see a lot of people yelling and going, I want Les Miles' job at KU?
No.
I didn't think so.
No.
So we'll continue to follow this. Maybe by the end of the week he'll be gone. Maybe he won't. Antoine Carr, former Shocker, came out in major support of Greg Marshall yesterday. Yeah. So there are people that are for him, and there are people that are not for him. Cy Young Award winners in baseball. The winner of the 2020 American League Cy Young Award is... Justin Bieber's brother, Shane. No, no. By the way, Justin Bieber looks awful. Okay, Cleveland ace, he does. He just looks like a complete man. Anyway, Shane Bieber, who looks like he's in better shape. Shane Bieber took home the honors in unanimous fashion. That's right. He got every first place vote. Shane Bieber, 25 years of age, far and away the best pitcher in the American League. In 12 starts, he was 8-1, 1.63 ERA, had the best whip, 122 strikeouts, just 21 walks and 77 innings. He led basically every category in American League in pitching. It was a no-brainer. He's your unanimous choice for the Cy Young. And he is the first one to be unanimous in American League since Verlander back in 2011. Cincinnati Reds right-hander Trevor Bauer was named the 2020 National League Cy Young Award winner. And guess where he used to pitch? Cleveland.
Cleveland,
in a way, kind of has both of the Cy Young Award winners. He received 27 of 30 first-place votes, beat out Cubs righty Yu Darvish and Mets righty Jacob deGrom. Finished third in the voting. He had won the previous two NL Cy Young Awards. Bauer is the first pitcher in Reds history to win the Cy Young. I would have never guessed that.
No.
You would have thought Tom Seaver would have won it, but no. Cincinnati's had three Cy Young runner-ups. Tom Seaver in 81, Mario Soto in 83, Johnny Cueto, 2014. The Reds played their first season in 1882 and were the only pre-expansion team without a Cy Young Award winner until yesterday. Trevor Bauer makes some history there. And the Marlins, Rangers, and Rockies are the only remaining teams without a Cy Young Award winner. Bauer led the National League in ERA at 1.76. He struck out 100 in just 17 walks and 73 innings, and he was unbelievable in that wild card start. Struck out 12, 7, and 2/3 in that game that went extra innings scoreless, and they lost to the Braves. Bauer did everything he could. So Trevor Bauer, your National League Cy Young Award winner, and the American League Cy Young Award winner is Shane Bieber. Cleveland Indian fans are going, what if we still had both those guys? But we have Shane Bieber, at least. Reports have surfaced on Wednesday indicating that Russell Westbrook and All-Star teammate James Harden had expressed concern about the Rockets' direction, and now it has apparently led to a trade request from Russell Westbrook. After just 1 year in Houston, Westbrook wants out. By the way, it's his birthday. Happy birthday, Russell. Harden is still committed to the Rockies despite Westbrook's intent to leave. Now, let's put this in context. One, there's a new GM. There's a new head coach in Steven Silas. Mike D'Antoni is gone. Daryl Morey is going to be over in the front office of the Philadelphia 76ers. So this team is probably going a different direction. Listen, I don't think anybody really anybody I've talked to that knows basketball, and you and I have talked about on the show, when Westbrook was going to Houston, I said, Chris Paul is the better player. Houston's getting worse by adding Russell Westbrook. Even though he's younger, I said he's not a good outside shooter. He's a horrible fit for the Rockets, especially when you got Harden that dominates the ball. They both need the ball in their hands, and it sounds like Russell wants to go to a team that he is the, of course, primary ball handler, which I don't blame him. That's the way he plays. You know, he could have still done that in Oklahoma City if he wanted to stay there, but they decided to part ways, and Oklahoma City's got a ton of draft picks coming up in the near future. You know, you just knew it wasn't going to work. You just knew it wasn't going to work. There's another example of, I can't remember what it was, NBA, where somebody signed and we just knew it wasn't going to work. And this is another example. Westbrook just doesn't fit what the Rockets, it didn't fit at all. I mean, the Rockets like to spread the floor and shoot threes. Russell Westbrook doesn't shoot threes. He drives it. He has to have the ball in his hands. Well, guess who already has the ball in his hands? James Harden.
Yeah.
So, you know, Harden actually basically forced this because him and Paul didn't get along because Paul probably apparently said, you know what, James, you should be better than this. Mm-hmm. And Harden didn't take too kindly to it. He was best buddies with Daryl Morey, the GM of the Rockets at the time. Daryl Morey's come out and had a huge paper new thank you. Do you see that? When he resigned from the Rockets, Daryl Morey, GM of the Rockets at the time, put a big thank you, and a big part of his thank you was to James Harden.
James Harden, yeah.
So he had James Harden, or James Harden had Daryl Morey in his pocket. So James Harden, Chris Paul don't get along. Well, we jettison Chris Paul out. So Chris Paul leaves when you're one win away from making it to the NBA Finals a few years back. And, of course, you know, Chris Paul's hamstring issue popped up, or they would have been there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we're going to get Paul out. We're going to trade and get Westbrook. We're going to go younger. Okay, great. But Westbrook's not going to play point guard. Not really. That's Harden.
Yeah.
And you lose a better – Paul's a better shooter. He's a better mid-range shooter. He's a better outside shooter. And the personality, I thought, worked fine until him and Harden apparently butted heads. And you see what Paul did Oklahoma City with a younger team, and everything went really well. And Chris Paul's on the trading block because of Thunder, not because they don't like him. It's just because they got to, you know, rebuild this thing. And Phoenix is interested in him. He could really help some young players develop in Phoenix. I think that would be a decent fit. I'm surprised Phoenix would go that route right now. But they do have a lot of, you know, some young talent they could ship to Oklahoma City and maybe speed up the process here. I think Chris Paul would be a really good addition. Like, the Bucks would be the perfect place for him, in my opinion, to help Giannis get over the hump. And they need a guy that can make really good decisions into games. So you got rid of Paul and you brought in Westbrook. And should anybody be surprised that it's blown up in their face and Westbrook wants out?
No, not even a little bit.
No.
No. There's, yeah, that you knew that was not going to work, like we said, right away. And it's like, I don't know about this. If Houston's actually serious about trying to win, and then they did that, and it's like we said, it's Chris Paul is a better fit for you to win right now than adding another guy that wants to do the same things James Harden does and shoots worse as far as three-point shooting and stuff like
that. Well, I mentioned Houston gave draft picks to Oklahoma City, and they gave Paul for Westbrook. I was like, trading Paul straight up for Westbrook, I don't even know if it's a good trade.
Yeah.
Let alone, but it definitely isn't when you trade draft picks.
Yeah, and now look at what this new GM has to deal with. He doesn't have his picks, and he's got to try to go
and
get
him
back. And a
huge salary cap, and he's got to find somebody to take on Russell Westbrook's contract on top of it all, too. Good luck with that. Here, the Masters taking place.
With beginning no fees or minimums.
Beginning today, the Masters. And play is resuming. This was supposed to just a moment ago. It's resuming right now. All remaining tee times are delayed exactly 3 hours. They had the ceremonial, you know, tee-offs by the legends, Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus, and the weather set in. And so they had to stop, and now they're going to get fired up here in a little while. So all these tee times I had printed up.
Because it looked like this, like last night, that they might not even get started until like 1 at the earliest, the way the weather forecast was looking.
Exactly. So they're looking at, 10:22, which would be 9:22. So they just started a few minutes ago with a restart. But we can tell you that Tiger Woods is paired with Shane Lowry, Andy Ogletree, Jordan Spieth, and Gary Woodland are in the same pairing, along with Ian Poulter. Dustin Johnson is with Rory McIlroy. Brooks Koepka is with Justin Thomas. And Phil Mickelson says this is going to make the course easier to play. You can make some mistakes because it's going to be softer. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could help the guys that are a little bit more aggressive. Bryson DeChambeau is going to be interesting. He's a guy that can hit it about 400 yards or longer. But how's that going to work? And, you know, I think you got to be a little more, at the Masters, you got to be a little more technical. You got to be a little bit, you just can't go for everything. And can Tiger Woods repeat at Augusta? You know, I think the odds are he won't. But, of course, it was so awesome when he won last year, at least in my opinion, back in the spring. But, yeah, raining on the parade in Augusta. But they have got a restart going here, and we'll keep you updated on what's taking place there with the Masters, which you'll be able to watch, of course, on CBS this weekend. And I know CBS excited. No fans. At the Masters, which is going to make it a little bit different, of course, but it is 2020, so we shouldn't be surprised by any of that, and we just have to adjust to it. Super Bowl odds, the top two favorites are from the AFC. Gee, I wonder who that could be. Well, let's ask the question. Who would it be? Well, the Chiefs, yes. And the Steelers. But I'm going to tell you something. Once the Ravens beat the Steelers in a few weeks, it'll be the Ravens and the Chiefs, and yeah. Suddenly the Chiefs will be like... We own the Ravens. The Saints top the odds in the NFC in regards to betting. So if you want to go bet in Vegas, the Chiefs won't make you as much money. Well, they can make you money if they win it. Plus 350 right now. But if you really want to, you know, Seattle's plus 1,000. It's somewhat of an attractive, you know, throw a few bucks on that maybe. The Bills are plus 1,800. You know, Titans at 2,500. I mean, you know, they're, you know, if the Chiefs get knocked out by somebody, Titans avoid the Chiefs. I mean, anything's possible. And, you know, and we could be in the playoffs. All of a sudden, Patrick Mahomes has COVID. I mean, this could all happen. Now, I've got a question for you. What do you think the NFL would do? Let's say, I'm just going to give you a really somewhat far-fetched. I don't know if it's far-fetched now I think about it. Let's just for bleeps and giggles. The Chiefs and the Steelers are going to be in the AFC title game. You with me?
Yes.
I don't care where the game's at. Kansas City, Pittsburgh, doesn't matter. Patrick Mahomes against Big Ben. Roethlisberger, Steelers, their defense against... Their defense isn't great, but it's not bad. And the Chiefs' offense. And Wednesday, the week of the AFC title game, both Patrick Mahomes and Ben Roethlisberger have COVID. Does that game still get played that weekend?
No.
Interesting.
They
you
have
said immediately.
There's been. It's pretty well known that the NFL has some built-in.
They do.
Back dates here.
They do.
And if the two best quarterbacks, like the two quarterbacks of the best two teams in the AFC, if you're at that point, and you haven't had anything pushed back yet. There's no way they play that game.
Let me ask you another question: if it's just one of those two quarterbacks,
I don't think they play.
Okay.
If it's Patrick Mahomes.
What if it's Travis Kelce, and that's the only player? Do they play?
That's tougher.
Because quarterback's a much more important position. It's a glamorous position in the National Football League. You see the problems we're going to have?
I think in that situation, like the Chiefs act like there's some contact tracing issues and say we can't play.
I was going to say, even if it's Travis Kelce, one of your top players, you come up with another story.
Yeah, they're
to
like,
make.
We...
Yeah. Which means you're lying.
And I know they have, but they have the things that tell you whether you're contact tracing or not. But
they can
make some things
Pittsburgh
up, most
could do
likely.
The same thing.
I think if there's anything that is questionable about how the game will come out, like at that point of the season, if there's no, if there hasn't been anything yet, and they haven't pushed anything back yet, I feel like there's going to be some wiggle room there, and some postponements.
But what about this? And I know it's just the way 2020 is, but what if the NFC title game is fine? And the AFC title game gets postponed to a week, then the NFC team has 2 weeks to prepare for the Super Bowl, and the AFC team would have 1 week. It just is what it is.
I think that might end up being it, you know.
Yeah, it could be, and I'm not
saying unless they want to move, you know, just move them both back just to be fair on the...
Yeah, but...
Because they would both have time in between.
But here's the thing. Here's the problem with that, though. If you go in, and we're doing a hypothetical, ladies and gentlemen, the NFC and AFC title games, of course, are the same day. And let's say middle of the week, there are problems with COVID for the Chiefs or the Steelers, assuming they play an AFC title game, and AFC's fine, and you're saying they'd push both back. I disagree with you, because here's why. If you push both back, and you know one can play, you push both back, what's to say next week the AFC title game's good and the NFC title game isn't? And I think you've got to play.
I think they'll play it, but I'm just that was just like if they want to make it
they could.
So somewhat fair, they might do that. But
that'd be a huge advantage for an NFC team. If everybody's ready,
I think they'll play the game.
That'd be a huge advantage. Wouldn't an extra week to prepare for the Super Bowl? Yeah. You would think that'd be a huge advantage. I mean, you don't know who you're going to play, but you know it's down to two. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know how that's all going to be handled. Now, the NFL, there's reports that they could go all the way till March before they play the Super Bowl if they have to.
They've got stuff booked
right
for 4 weeks after the Super
Bowl. But they really don't want to go there.
No.
So what they want is, even if there's some games that are postponed or canceled, I should say, the NFL is talking about, okay, we expand the playoffs to 16 teams, so 8 in each, and the top 2 seeds get byes, and we will have a little, we just won't be able to play a few of those games, or we try to get a few of these games made up maybe, and we push the season back a week or two, but they don't want to push it, obviously, clear in the March. But they do have the flexibility to do that, though, from what we're understanding.
So, yes.
But I think you're right. That's a good point you made. Like, okay, hey, Travis Kelce has it. Suddenly 3 other Chiefs players have it.
Yeah, we're on the reserve list here.
Yes,
contact tracing.
Because we don't want to go in the Pittsburgh game without Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill or Patrick Mahomes or Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah.
Or Eric Fisher or Mitchell Schwartz or Tyrann Mathieu or Frank Clark. Okay, we could go a ways with this, right?
Yeah.
And Pittsburgh would be like, we can't go in this one without Juju Schuster or Ben Roethlisberger or James Conner or T.J. Watt. You know, looking at or Minkah Fitzpatrick. It works both ways, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Who knows what's going to happen? All I know is I think we're going to have some interesting, different news to talk about tomorrow morning. I just think there's going to be even more games college-wise that might be postponed. I think we've got a decent chance to have some high school football playoff games that are going to be canceled or forfeited later today or tomorrow. I hope I'm wrong. I could very well be wrong. I am more than happy to be wrong about any of that. But I think Dusty agrees with me. So I guess we're both saying that we're hoping we're both wrong, right?
Yeah, I never make guarantees one way or the other.
I'm not guaranteeing
right
anything. Yeah. I'm just saying I've got this bad feeling.
I just understand that there won't be any surprises from anyone if there are more high school games that are canceled here.
I think that's what we're trying to say to people out there. Don't be surprised
if
something more stuff comes up between now and the next 24 hours, basically.